Well, hey, good morning. We are so glad that you're here today. Thank you for being a part of our service. And those watching online, we are honored that you're here to watch wherever you might be. And it's so good to see you. Yeah, man, last Sunday was incredible. Awesome weekend. And, you know, if you were here last week, you saw me ride a stationary bike. And if you missed it, you know, that's okay. It wasn't very pretty, you know, what I was doing there. But I had a stationary bike. And I had people ask me, how did I feel after three services of riding a bike? And let me just say this. I hadn't ridden a bike in over a year. And that was the first time I've been riding a bike in a while. About a year ago, I was pumping my tire. It was flat and kind of misjudged the air. And a pop goes the tire. And so just hadn't been riding a bike. And so up there, and people asked me, so were you bow-legged for a week? And I said, no, I felt great. You know, God was good, and I'm so thankful that I was able to not pass out in the middle of the sermon. But so thank you for wondering and curious about that. But, man, God used that service just last week to see many come to know Christ, and we're excited about that. And, today we're starting that brand-new series on the fruit of the Spirit. Hey, no, I'm a student of history. I love studying history, and I'm fascinated growing up studying about the Civil War. I think it was interesting, in the past couple of years, since we moved to this location, the property right here. This was back in the 1860, during the beginning of the Civil War, there was an encampment of Union soldiers right here. And I find that interesting, right here in our woods. And it's really cool. And right here in the corner, I always heard this rumor, but I got a big, you know, someone told me last night or yesterday afternoon, and I said, yep, that's true. And but right here at the corner where the CVS is, there used to be a general store lodge back in the 1860s. And Ulysses Grant had stayed there in that corner. So, you know, it's a fascinating history. I love that kind of stuff. I love learning new stuff and fascinated by studying World War II and all that entails and all these wars. You know, it's sad, you know, history. It's a sad part of our history, but I'm fascinated by all these wars. And I remember the very first time in my life that there was a war, and it was televised, you know, started on all the news channel. It was Operation Desert Storm, and we were taking on Saddam Hussein and taking over Kuwait, and that was back in the 90s. I remember that so vividly, and it happened so quick, too. It wasn't, you know, we had a commander named Norman Schwarzkopf. I don't know if I said it right or not, but Stormin' Norman was his nickname. And I just love it, man. That guy just went in, took care of business. You know, it just settled the deal. And I watched that. We've seen the war, the Iraqi war after 9/11. I've been seeing those different things. And I've seen the horrors of war. We get to see that now. You know, we don't read about it. We see it on television. You know, this war is going on, going on even right now in Ukraine, the war in Israel. And we have all these wars, and wars are happening all around the world. And I want to talk to you today about a war that's brewing in my life. Inside my life, there's a war happening. And at times, I feel like I'm winning the war. I'm winning the battle. And there are times in my life where I feel like I'm overwhelmed. I'm being defeated by the opposition. And in reality, I'm fighting you. I'm fighting the people I love. I'm fighting the people that I'm called to pastor. Not only am I fighting you, I'm also doing battle with my wife, battle with my kids, battle with my coworkers, the board. You know, I'm doing battle with every person that I come in contact with because I bumped into a little verse in the New Testament called Philippians 2, verse 3. Philippians 2:3, it says, in humility, value others above yourselves. I love the NASB version. Regard one another as more important than yourself. And you wouldn't think, right? You wouldn't think that this little verse would start a battle in my life. But it does. And it all comes down to this one little phrase. The phrase, one another. One another. There would not be a battle in my life if it wasn't for that phrase, one another. Everything's good, everything's fine in my life until I read one another. Now, there would not be a battle brewing in my life if the verse read differently. In the Scott Blanchard version of Philippians 2:3, if it read like this, regard celebrities or VIPs as more important than yourself. Now, that's easy. I would have no problem obeying that direction, that directive, that instruction from God if it said VIPs or celebrities. For example, you know, the past year, we the Detroit Lions had a really good football team. We're all pumped, right? We're all, man, you know, finally, you know, we had a real good team. And the head coach, you know, it's Dan Campbell, right? I mean, he's the toast of the town. Everybody wants to hang out with Dan Campbell, right? He's the man, right? I mean, every man that loves Detroit Lions football have a man crush on this guy. I mean, this guy got guts. You know, he's like, go big or go home. And you know, every fourth down and 10 yards, he's going for it, right? I mean, he's like, I'm going for it. And we're kind of like, oh, no. But then there's a part of us that says, oh, yeah, let's go for it. You know what we've got to lose? I mean, that's Dan Campbell. Now, if I were to tell you that Dan Campbell was going to come to my house tonight for dinner, I promise you, I would be the model host. I would be the best host of all time. I mean, I'd be waiting for him out the window. I'd be looking out the window the whole time. And then pull in the driveway, I pop out. I open the car door for him. I open the house. I open the door to the house. I open the closet. I open the bathroom door. I even open the bathroom door for the guy, you know. I make sure he sits at the head of the table. I make sure he has the most generous portion of food. I make sure his glass is filled to the brim. And I would listen and hang to every word. I would laugh at every funny thing he said. Even if it wasn't funny, I'd just laugh. You know, I mean, I would just be there. And then, you know, he would be done. I mean, he would walk out the door. And I open the car door for him. I wave goodbye to him. You see, there's no battle, right? There is absolutely no conflict going on in my life when I treat a celebrity or a VIP as more important than me. You see, the battle begins to brew when I am asked to treat you as more important than myself. And this happens all the time. If I'm not careful, I can begin to put my interests, right, my needs, above your interests, above your needs. And that's how I live my life sometimes, if I'm not careful. See, there's a battle, right? There's a war, there's a conflict that's going inside of me. And we go to Galatians chapter 5, and we see this conflict, this spiritual conflict, this battle. Now, this battle that we see in Galatians chapter 5, this is the battle between believers. This is a believer's battle that's going on. If you're a non-believer, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then this battle that's in Galatians chapter 5 is not happening in your life. There's a different battle if you're a non-believer. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there's a different battle. It's a battle for your soul. There's that battle. But in Galatians chapter 5, this is for the Christian. For the follower of Christ, there's a battle going on. And it's not a battle for your soul, because your soul has been secured by what Jesus Christ did on the cross and by your accepting his salvation. That's been secured. Your soul has been secured. But there's a battle for your character. That's what's happening in Galatians chapter 5. And we look at verse number 16, and the Apostle Paul, he says, so I say, walk by the Spirit. And when you do, you're not going to gratify, you're not going to give in to the desires of the flesh. For the flesh, it desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. See, there's a battle, right? There's a battle fighting or brewing inside of me in your life. And I always laugh when people say, Scott, Christianity is for those people who need a crutch. Christianity is for the lightweights of the world, and I just think it's hilarious. Because it doesn't take any character, it takes no commitment whatsoever to become a self-centered person. It takes no commitment to make you do, to make you do what you want, what looks good for you, to do what you want to do, what gives you pleasure. It is a no-brainer. But it takes some real stuff. It takes some real stuff to regard another person as more important than yourself. It takes some real commitment. In fact, I submit to you that Philippians 2:3 is the best definition of love you will find. Regarding one another as more important than yourself. See, the rest of the definition of love is superficial, it's shallow. You hear the phrase, I fell in love. I don't know what that is, you fall, you trip. I fall in love. Some people say, hey, love is like a warm hug. Love is like a nice smile. Love is like a Hallmark card. And that's not what love is. It doesn't really cut it. If you take a note, love, this is what love is. Love is becoming other-centered and not self-centered. None of us have to be taught, right, to think about ourselves. See, we were born with a me-first mentality. I mean, think about if you had a baby, at one time, you had a baby. The first word that the baby might say might be say mama. And then he'll say dada. Then the third word, you know what that word is? Mine. Mind. We're just born to be self-centered people. I know I am. I know I can be the most selfish-centered person around. And I constantly struggle with this, with my family, with my coworkers, with other people in my life. I have a tendency, in fact, we all have a tendency to think about me, myself, and I, instead of thinking about others, we think about this. We ask the question, how does this affect me? What's in it, right? What's in it for me? I'm gonna do a social experience, experiment right here, social experiment. I'm gonna invite Frank and Kelly to the platform. Frank, Kelly. Come up to the platform. Come up. They're like, oh, what's happening? Alyssa. come up to the platform. Yes, Alyssa, come up to the platform. Julie, come up, Julie. She can be great. We're going to do this. We're going to do this thing. All right, how you guys doing? Good. Kelly, how you doing? Alyssa, by the way, what happened last night?
Oh, I got engaged.
She got engaged. All right, woo, all right. How exciting.
What?
How exciting. And you're letting me do the wedding, aren't you?
I don't know.
You don't know, okay. All right. All right, I'm her uncle. Right, we'll see if that works out. And Julie, good to have you up here. Hey, listen, let's give it up for these guys. We're going to do a selfie. I mean, isn't that appropriate for this message? We're going to do a selfie, all right? And we're going to do it right here, right? So let's huddle up right here. And come on, give me your best look here. Ready? All right. Oh, man, what a good-looking group. Now, let me ask you a question. Let's check that out. What do you think? All right. Good. Hi. Let me ask you this. Who is the first person you look at in that picture? Yeah. Good answer. Right here. All right. All right, let's just be honest, though. The first person we like to look at is, right, we look at ourselves. Because we've judged the picture, how good it is, based on how we look in the picture. We don't care about anybody else. You know, if everybody else looks terrible, we look great, it's fine. That's fine. That's great. Hey, let's give it up for these guys right here. Now, Christmas season, I get the cards, Christmas cards from people, right? And it always amazes me. You know, in every Christmas card, the mom looked great. I mean, the husband's staring up at the sky, right? The kids, their clothes is a mess. But the mom looks wonderful. You know why that is? Because she picked the card. She's the one that picked the card. You see, we have a tendency to think about self more than about others. It's how we're wired. We're just wired in our natural tendency to be that way. Have you ever had a moment where you could be an other-centered person and not a self-centered person and you blew it? Have you ever had that moment? I know I've shared it before, but, you know, I was at home. Karen had gone for the day. She was running some errands. And I'm sitting at the house, sitting on the couch. And, I, of course, I noticed that, man, the floors could be vacuumed. I could be a real good husband. I'm vacuuming the floor. And then I noticed that there's some dishes piling up in the sink. I said, you know, I should probably do the dishes. And I start to get up. I have good intentions. I want to show kindness. I want to show, you know, that I can be a selfless person. And so I pull out the vacuum cleaner. And then I stop. And I begin to think. I said, wait a minute. I'm by myself. She's not here to give me any applause. She's not going to know that I did this. And so I pulled up my Find a Friend app. I want to see where she's located. And I see, she's still at the store. So, you know, I put the alert on. Hey, let me know when she leaves the store. Right? And then I get the alert. She's on her way home. I said, this would be a good time to start the work. Because then she'll walk in, she'll see me sweating hard. I mean, it's all good. Because listen, I'm all about me and how this looked like in my life. And by the way, that is not biblical servanthood. It's not. I blew it. I had the opportunity to just do it out of the goodness of my heart, without any glory, without any recognition. But by design, I have a tendency to be self-centered. And this is where the Holy Spirit comes. See, the Holy Spirit of God, when he comes into your life, he's helping us be aware of these moments. And I love this. The Holy Spirit, he is faithful. If you're taking note, God, you know, it's the Holy Spirit. God is committed to take you, take me, to change your natural instance into supernatural instance, and to produce in our lives what we see in His character. That's what the Holy Spirit doing. And God is doing this in our lives, and that's what we're going to do for the next 8 or 9 weeks. We're going to talk about this theory called fruition. We'll talk about these. We're going to talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Notice I didn't say fruits, plural. It's called the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits of the Spirit. They're not separate fruits. It's one, we're seeing the scripture, it's defined as one fruit. God is working on all the fruit, all these non-character qualities into our lives. And we see it here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So I meet people all the time. They say, you know, I am a believer. I know Jesus Christ. I'm involved in church. I go to church. I serve in church. I give to church. And yet what they say and what they do are two different things. Could that be you? Could that be me sometimes? You see, here's what God is committing in Galatians chapter 5. God is more interested in who you're becoming and not what you're doing. You can do all the things, but not become who God wants you to be. And that's the fruit of the Spirit. And see, Galatians 5 is not some Walmart, Kroger, or Meijer type verse here. We go in. You know, we don't go and pick and choose, what we want. Like, we go to the fruit section at the stores. You know, we want some kiwi, no oranges. We want some apples, no bananas. We want the pineapple. That's what we do in the grocery store. That's not what Galatians 5 is all about. We don't pick and choose. We can't say, I tend to be a peaceful person. But love, that's not me. That's not my fruit. No, patient? Nah, I'm the least patient person in the room. That's not for me. Oh, faith? I got faith. Give me that fruit. No, we don't pick and choose. That's not what Galatians 5 is teaching us. We have to reflect all these qualities. It's one fruit. One fruit with 9 qualities. All of them. And if we know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He has put in your life the Holy Spirit, and He is the ultimate gardener. And it's His job to produce in our lives the spiritual fruit. If we're ready to enter the battle, the Holy Spirit is willing to help bring in the reinforcement to help us win these character struggles that we would never win on our own. And so that's what He is doing. Only God can do this. Only God, you can't do this on your own. Only God can take the natural and turn it into a supernatural. Only God can grow this in your life. And there's a lost and dying world. They're looking for Christians. They're looking for followers of Christ that are full of the fruit of the Spirit in their life. They want to see it. They want to see it. So how are you doing as you look through the fruit of the Spirit? I guess the question we're asking is this. How does the Holy Spirit do this stuff? He says, God, should I be here for the next 8 or 9 weeks to learn more? Can the Holy Spirit change a self-centered person and make me more other-centered? Can he do that? And the answer is yes, He can. He absolutely can. And I want to show you how the Holy Spirit of God has taken a self-centered man like me and how He turned me to be into more other-centered. It's a scenario that maybe many of you can relate. And maybe not to that scenario, maybe there's some other scenarios, but you'll understand what I'm talking about. You know, have you gone to a restaurant? I know I've gone to a restaurant. You go to the host, it's packed. They'll tell you it's a 30-minute wait. You're like, okay, we're going to wait. The waiting room is full of people. You know, there's no seats available. You're kind of standing in the way. You feel like, oh, man, there's no spot, but you're just standing and you're waiting. And then finally you see two chairs pop up. And you look around. No one else is looking at it. And you decide, I'm taking those seats. And we get there in a hurry. We claim the seat. We say, ha-ha, my seat. Got it. I get to sit here for the next 30 minutes until it's our turn to go to a table. Meanwhile, the Holy Spirit begins to nudge, begins to speak. He says, hey, there's the older person right there, there's the older man right there who could use your seat. I eyeball that guy. I said, I don't know, he looks okay. I said, no, you should probably give him your seat. I said, I don't know, he doesn't look very happy. He looked like, I don't know, he's probably a jerk. He's negative. He's got this negative frown. I don't think I'm going to. Nah, I was here first. You know, I'm the man. I got the seat. It's too bad, so sad, my chair. And then the Holy Spirit, right, he began to bring out the heavy artillery. I said, excuse me, did you just call that guy a jerk? You know, do you think that you're more special? Do you think that this guy don't deserve it? Let me tell you, buddy boy. And this is the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you, buddy boy. I came for you. And I treated you like a VIP, a celebrity. And my son gave his life on a cross. For you. So stop being so self-centered and get up off that chair. Right. Then you get up because you respond to the Holy Spirit. It's how the Holy Spirit begins to speak. It's the Holy Spirit's job, right, to develop the character qualities of all these non-fruits. 24/7 is working in your life and mind. And every time we cooperate with the Holy Spirit of God to love people, stuff happens in your life and mind. Here's a couple things here. Here's what happens. Number one, a little more of the old self dies. Your old flesh, the old self, it begins to die. I believe the key to this whole passage is found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. I want you to think about those words. Those who belong to Christ Jesus. You see, there's a difference between religion and the real gospel. Religion says this: do good so that someday you will belong to God. That's what religion teaches. Do good so that you will one day belong to God. But the gospel says, you belong to God. Now go and do good. Did you see the difference? You see, the key to winning this battle between our sinful nature and our spiritual nature, the key to winning is so that we can be the people we want to be. It's not trying harder to be good. It's all about pushing into this relationship with Jesus. Finding our identity in him. Because the more we do that, the more we find our identity in him, his very spirit, the Holy Spirit, fills us. He begins to empower us. And a little more of that old self begins to die. Here's how I summarize this whole thing. It's this little poem I found. It's called "The Pull of Sin is Strong, but the Living Christ is Stronger." So open yourself to his spirit, and you will bear his fruit. Now, here's what else happens. What happens when we cooperate with the Holy Spirit. It delights and moves the heart of God. God finds joy. He's a, you know, God is the God of emotions. He smiles. The joy when we live out this fruit of love, being other-centered. Here's another one. When I respond to the Holy Spirit of God, love registers deeply in people's lives. It makes an impact. People begin to think, wow, there's something different about him, different about her, because being other-centered is countercultural to the world. But the gospel impels us to love. To love others. Here's another thing that happens. It will open the door of opportunity to share with others what Christ has done and is doing in your life. You open doors. So now I'm going to give you two challenges. I'm going to challenge you to give two takeaways with the first message on love. Two takeaways. Number one, ask yourself the 2-3 questions. Ask yourself the 2-3 questions. Think about that. Ask yourself, and again, it goes back to Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. You know, one of the ways to learn scripture is to personalize it, right? Personalize the scripture. So what if you personalize Philippians 2, 3? What if you say, do I regard blank, and you fill in the blank. Do I regard blank as more important than myself? You put your spouse there. Do I regard my wife? Do I regard my husband as more important than myself? You can put in the blank the person that you're dating. Your best friend. Your boss. Do I regard my boss as more important than myself? Let me press a little bit harder here. Do I regard Democrats as more important than myself? Do I regard Republicans? Hey, it's got to get real here, doesn't it? Do I regard Republicans as more important than myself? Do I regard minorities? Well, you know, they're illegal. They shouldn't be here. Don't go there. Philippians 2, 3. It calls us to regard them no matter who they are. Regard them more as important as yourself. We're called to be people of God. We're called to be people of God to live this out because that's what God did to us by sending his son to us. Here's the second takeaway. I'm going to challenge you to record your progress. Record your progress. I mean, you got to journal this stuff. Determine that you're going to pray, you know, Galatians chapter 5, you know, the fruit of the Spirit. Determine that you're going to pray Philippians 2, 3. And then ask God to help you to seize the moment. When you start to hear those voices, that's what the Holy Spirit doing. He said, hey, don't you think you should? I don't know. It's a battle, right? Listen, seize the moment. And when the Holy Spirit nudges, when the Holy Spirit speaks, when the Holy Spirit kind of do it, and then write it down. Write it down. I promise you, if you do this, there'll be at least a page of notebook paper every day of your life when you start to record every moment, the different moments every day. Again, the Spirit of God, he's able. And the reinforcements are there. And he will win the battle. Our job and my job is to cooperate with him, to get off the throne of our lives and to put others in that place. Because that, my friend, is what true love is called on us to do. Our Heavenly Father, we ask you to help us today. Help us as we kick off this brand new series on the fruit of the Spirit. Help us in the conflict that's inside of us. Help us to be other-minded, to be other-centered, to love. Just as you have loved us, so we go out and love. Whether we're a lovable, or perhaps we say, well, I'm an unlovable person, God help us. But the Holy Spirit power to do what only you can do in our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.